Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to episode 527 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
How you going, fellas?
Great.
Any better, it'd be illegal.
Okay, unpack that for me. Why? What? Are you...
It's sad that you're shocked that that level of happiness exists.
Well, I mean, like... There's illegal levels of happiness, but then there are ones that are like, you know, even though they're illegal, I mean, and, you know, they may become legal one day. I mean, there's things that you would never want to be doing. I mean, like, you're not fucking, you didn't just come back from like fucking, you know, you're not as happy as someone who just was down for a walk in the national forest and buried a couple of backpackers.
Look, I do dislike backpackers and I am fairly chirpy, but no.
You prefer your fruit unpicked. Just dying on the trees.
No, I read the wonderful news today that Tyrone Peachy has been linked to Souths. So.
Oh, wow. I did not see that. Yes. In fact, I haven't looked at a single bit of news or anything. So,
I'm
going to be absolutely thrilled.
Well, look, on the weekend, I'm not sure we'll feel it. I think he would scored two and let two in. So he was a balanced account for Tyrone Peachy on the weekend.
Interesting take.
I dare say he's been killing it this year and been one of the critical players for the Panthers this season.
Yes.
And, he's looking like he's got the inside running to perhaps. Play a role deep into the finals.
Do you know what you sound like there? And look, I'm sure he will. You know, he will play a role, but you sound right there, and Glennie will back me up on this, like somebody that's never had Tyrone Peachy play for their team.
Yeah, and also also glad of it, and can also have that kind of, that air of...
It's this
I've never had Tyrone
Peachy. I also doubled down in the fact that I had Tyrone Peachy on my team, and sadly he was one of our better players.
Yeah, the Tigers are one of the ones where he has a legacy. The Titans and the Panthers are just like, fuck this dude.
He was considered, at the Tigers, he was considered elite.
Yeah, exactly.
He's getting
because
a statue.
He played for Penrith. That's all
he
you need.
He brought a little taste of the bus back.
Yeah,
after Ivan left.
Yeah, at this stage, we'd take a fucking meth addict that just strolled from one end of Penrith Plaza to the other, and they're like, "Oh, he's been to Penrith. Fucking sign him."
So is that like,
and then send him back in a couple of years?
Oh, it's Dane Laurie.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Dane Laurie. Look, he's going back to his happy place, though. Let's be honest.
I can't hate on the kid.
Oh yeah, you got to be. You gotta be down pretty bad to be, you know, needing to hate on a fucking football player to get your kicks. Funny, you live a fucking full life. Why would you fucking need to hate on a footy player to enrich yourself?
Plenty of people do though, Nathan. I don't understand your point. Not me.
Yeah,
but...
well, fucking losers.
Yeah. Or podcast hosts. You know, you shouldn't need to hate on podcast hosts if you live a full life. Of course,
let's not hate anybody.
Yeah. Of course, it's difficult to live a full life when you fucking constantly are shitting through the eye of a needle because your body's fucked up.
That's just way...
Oh,
like,
I took a breath. I've got a shit.
I don't even want to fucking break that down for the listeners.
Wow.
That's super specific. Now.
I looked in the mirror. Oh, got a shit again.
Jesus. plenty. Come on, people's disabilities. Fucking hell.
That's not even the fucking worst of his disabilities. I'm just fucking starting at the bottom. Literally.
All right. Speaking of shit, though, Glennie, did you hear that there's been some behind the scenes trouble at the West Tigers, and you've had Chris Lawrence himself, old Betty White, walked away from the club, and he had a obviously, like, his entire injury history was fucking laid out on past episodes of this show, because it was quite the fucking topic.
Yes.
Almost all the time, right? He's no longer part of the club after a dummy spit from Chairman Lee. Apparently, when the Tigers were being flogged 74-0 by North Queensland, Lawrence sent him a text along the lines of, "You can't be happy with this?" question mark. And old fucking Fedora Lee took umbrage.
Is that a relation of Meadow Lee?
He got the shits with the text, and so Chris Lawrence has terminated his association with the club, which he built almost single-handedly, if we're being honest.
That's a fucking great call, Glennie. That is a great call, because if every other fucking front office official of every other club is butter, then that cunt is most...
He's margarine.
Margarine of some description.
Exactly. Look, at the end of the day, it seems the team's getting smashed 74-0, and a club legend in his own way, you know, it certainly wasn't aggressive by the sounds of it, you know, and Lee's decided to go and get crones about it. I'll tell you, it's unfortunate. I don't know if that's the biggest problem he's got, where he has to have a dummy spit at a club legend with all the other shit that's going on in this club.
You think there'd be targets that he could more readily line up
himself? Yes.
But also, let's just unpack that from a cultural point of view. Now, we have no idea of the context of their relationship. Maybe the relationship has been rocky. Maybe Lawrence has said some things that he shouldn't have said, or had spoken up inappropriately, whatever it is.
It's not in his fucking nature.
You know, and maybe
it's not like he sent him a text. It's not like the text said, you know, "Listen, you fedora wearing cunt. Fucking, let's not worry about fucking the location of Carmen San Diego. Let's fucking worry about let's worry about where the location of the fucking two competition points is for this fucking team."
Yeah. Can we please start running a football club and not living in constant fear that someone's going to accidentally set off a time machine and zap us all back to 1934 and dressed like we can fit in instantly?
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
But
even if we were lucky enough to get zapped in a time machine, it's never taken us back to fucking 2005.
Exactly. And since you want to dress like fucking Dick Tracy, why don't you fucking investigate what the fuck is going on at this team?
I can't think of how that's a positive culture when someone who had, like...
Hang on, let me stop you right there. Are you insinuating that the culture at the West Tigers is anything but positive?
That appears to be toxic, because he has the CEO's mobile number. It's not like he said he went and stole it out of someone else's phone, or he guessed it, or he broke into his office and stole it out of his fucking Rolodex. He's got the CEO on his phone, which leads you to believe that they've texted each other or called each other before.
Yeah, there's an open line of communication there.
And to be so fucking petty, if that's the reason, man, that then gives us the clearest insight we have ever publicly had as to what the cultural issues are with the West Tigers. And there is an old fucking saying: a fish rots from the head.
Yep.
Sometimes the fish rots from the arsehole.
Rotten.
And the arsehole is at the chair of the board.
That's it. All right, now, Jay, I believe you have a chance to take a swipe at unions again, specifically the RLPA. Tell me about it. I haven't seen the news, so you have to tell me like I'm three.
Let me preface this. I don't hate workers. After all the fucking DMs, in fact, I am so fucking pro worker that what I encourage everybody to do is actually do some fucking research on what they're getting versus what they pay for and what they could get if they spent the exact same amount of money elsewhere. You know?
Yeah, I. So he's pro worker, but not pro union.
No.
Your assumption that he's anti-union is 100%
true. 100% correct.
I'm glad you said that because, I mean, the amount of people who fucking send me messages will go out, Jay. Stepdad really hates unions. And I'm like, yeah, fucking oath.
and it's only because, you know, they're essentially in it for themselves just like any major corporation is. A union is there to benefit the people that are running the union. At the end of the day, they can put on this big front that they're there for members, but who gets looked after first? Who gets looked after fucking first? Anyway, but the RLPA and their very impressive and tactically sound leader have taken another step in their action over the NRL. So apparently, this week, the media ban is still in place, and the players are now going to cover up the NRL logo on their jerseys. So I'm not quite sure what the fucking go is here. Does he think that people are going to turn their TV on at the same time that they watch the rugby league every fucking week to watch the teams that they know are involved in the National Rugby League run out and then suddenly be shocked and confused and wonder if they are actually watching the National Rugby League because they can't see the NRL logo on the fucking jerseys?
This one's a weird one because it doesn't really, like, I guess it's some sort of form of like a silent protest sort of thing, but still, you know, and the media are the only ones at the moment that are losing out here because you can see why the quality of the content, particularly on the shit rag shows like 360 and that, are starting to have to churn out. Yeah. It's basically they were 90% opinion anyway, you know, it seemed, but now they're like all in opinion and it's all shit. And there was a glaring example of it last night when they had like Danny Widler had a sit down interview with DCE that was done on the Mondays and Tuesdays when players can do the media, obviously. And they had a sit down talking to him about the milestone game this weekend. And they literally showed clips from it and then said, "This is a travesty this media band of players are doing. We would have loved to have heard from him this week about his milestones." They're dumb motherfuckers. You literally just, seen a fucking lengthy sit down interview. He didn't talk to you.
Now on the same vein that I get the shits with people being fucking disingenuous in certain organizations about who benefits in them. It's been funny to see all of the sleeper agents that the media have fucking activated to try and swing public opinion against it. Like, there are so many fucking Twitter people who all seem to have some sort of association with gambling companies that are all of a sudden tweeting out about and it's exactly what you said there, Nate. There was one in particular I saw after Origin about how, you know, oh, such a shame, Cody Walker's friends and family will never get to hear how he felt after his Origin thing. Won't somebody think of the families? Think of the families. And then you go to the cunt's bio and he's like a gambling company ambassador. So how much do you fucking care about families, bud? Like, what are we thinking about families?
I care a lot as long as they're winning.
And not to mention, they actually, because they couldn't interview players, with in the case of Bradman Best, who'd they interview after the game? His fucking dad and mum. And so I think the families heard a lot when the player went up to the fence and literally spoke to them face to fucking face after the game.
If you're actually friends and family with Bradman Best, give him a fucking phone call the next day. You'll get to hear exactly how he went.
You got the access.
It's exactly the opposite of friends and family that don't get to hear that shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this shit, and I am enjoying how fucking triggered the media is getting. And it's funny, they're trying to push the narrative now that it's that the it's all Clint Newton's fault. Now, you know me, I love a bit of fucking Newton bashing. But essentially they're saying that the way that it's his way to muzzle 485 players is by saying that they all have one voice.
Yeah.
And no one dares step out of line.
And also a voice of and the way that, you know, they can attack him as well is that because he's not a current player anymore.
Yep.
And so he's not someone that they're going to have to blow potentially in 3 weeks' time down the track.
Yeah.
You know, while they lean their team in the finals or, you know, some sort of shit like that. They can easily just portray him as, you know,
yeah,
that's this other guy that's an other to the actual players themselves. And so the players are victims, but also the media themselves are victims, and the families of the players, obviously, like you mentioned before. But and they can put it all on him as a singular point of attack. But like, this will all resolve itself anyway over the next few weeks. And it could have been done probably without, you know, this sort of level of shit. But I mean, I guess when the main victim in quotes of the action is the media, obviously they're gonna fucking blow it, you know, they're gonna blow it up.
The interesting thing here is they're saying and this is all, like you said, just shit from the talk shows on Fox, but Volandis has apparently come out and said, I'll tell you what, I'll get Andrew Abdo and I'll pull him out of the negotiations. If you cunts pull fucking Newton out of the negotiations, and I, Lord and Saviour Volandis, will sit in a room with however many players you want, and we'll all nut out a deal together. And then Clint can come back, and if you still want him to be your representative of that deal, then he can be your representative, but we don't want him involved in making the deal.
Yeah, and I mean, so. and that's just Volandi. I mean, the thing, the sort of head-kicking tactics that you need to do to be the steward of, you know, horse racing.
Yep. Well, it's a different. It's easy yeah. with jockeys, isn't it? They're not that physically intimidating.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. I'm going to choke.
It's like a scene out of the fucking Wizard of Oz.
I was going to say, it's like going into fucking Willy Wonka's fucking factory and expecting someone to fucking stop you eating the chocolate.
Oh, like, my God. Oh, fuck, that's funny.
Well, sit down, you little orange cunt.
Luke Brooks looks upset.
Oompa, loompa, doompa, doompa.
Right, so the only other thing, and we were talking about this before we were recording, is like the low hanging fruit that we would have been had we still been doing the lines at the start of the episodes. And Jamin Zammon is signing with the Bulldogs for next season. There's some strange. I mean, the amount of players that these cunts are buying is still fucking incredible. And while they're not like necessarily the top dollar kind of players that they highlighted last year's spending spree, guys like, you know, like Salmon and Taffy, but then they've bought Liam Knight, immediate transfer. So that's a strange one because it's not like he's a
good player.
Well, just like an incredible gun. He's not a culture guy because, I mean, fuck, you know, Bagon himself. I mean, he's had his past, and you know the fact that they've got so many injuries that are sort of starting to turn around and come back. It just seems strange, but yeah, the weak gutted dog joins the kennel. All that and more this week in league.
What are we going to take? What do we got? Matt Moylan is.
He's going to go to France, maybe.
Move to Super League.
Taking the old red wine Jim spot at Catalan, yeah, and who they got now? Who they got now is fucking killing it.
Brady Croft.
It's Brady Croft, isn't it? Yeah.
He's not in Catalan.
Yeah. He's not in Catalan, no. I have no fucking idea.
I think he's playing for Salford.
He's doing the Salford, is he? The old Salford, fuck. I know the good old days, Glenny.
He fucking wanted it.
Salford.
Then there's the other news, you know, the Jerome Luai saga.
What's the saga there?
Is it a saga?
Oh, it's just that, again, it's allegedly...
Dropping N-bombs at another, did he go to fucking Crichton's wedding?
No, the Dogs have offered ridiculous money to him. He's had a split with his management last week, but the change in the direction of the narrative is that, oh well, yeah, the Dogs are interested, and other clubs would be if he wasn't polarizing.
Oh, okay, meaning so, if he wasn't brown skinned, is what you're saying? That's exactly what the media are talking about. That's all code.
Well, but essentially what they're saying is that if
he listens to fucking hip hop and fucking and acts, you know, acts up on Instagram and fucking all the rest of it.
Yeah. Yeah,
and on exactly. field, and on field, he fucking struts around when he scores a try or when a teammate scores a try, et cetera, et cetera.
And he makes fun of people that have 9-to-5 jobs.
Yeah.
Thing. So yeah, exactly. But they're essentially saying, could you imagine Jerome Luai in a Roosters jumper? Could you see him playing under Ricky down in Canberra? And I fucking love that, how they talk about playing under Ricky, like that's the fucking
gold standard. You
know, yeah, that's
I thought that was like a joke example. Like, yeah, obviously he's staying at Penrith because could you imagine that scenario?
Yeah, well, that's how normal people would see that.
Yeah.
But they've done their usual. Ricky filleting, trying to talk about how he's sucked.
No, I forget he's got all his mates in the media and shit.
Master of fucking discipline, but
I think he's less desirable because he's like super desirable to Canterbury.
Yep.
Less desirable to other clubs. The reason why is because State of Origin proved that outside the Penrith system, he's half the player. Mm-hmm. But the Bulldogs are insistent on slowly, piece by piece, importing the entire Penrith system. So eventually, if he sucks next year, he'll give it 3 years and he'll probably... Yeah. I mean, I think with Birdo there, he'd probably be comfortable enough. But, you know, with Birdo, I mean, fuck, just the fact that you can fucking put him in six at Dogs and then have that set up with kick out to his left. I mean, that alone would make him fucking instantly comfortable, surely.
And Crichton and Birdo and the week go to Dog. Oh, wow.
And look,
imagine.
Yeah.
I would not begrudge him at all, and I made this very clear after the second title. Anyone that wants to now go and fucking money chase after they've bought us two rings, fucking more power to you. Chase the almighty dollar. You have done your fucking job. You are forever a club legend.
Because really, that's at the end of the day, that's the issue at hand. It's not that the Dogs are interested and this guy's interested and this team could be interested. It's the fact is that now he can get X amount of money and the club can't afford that, you know, with the other guys that they want to retain.
And this thing of, you know, he's either got to take a haircut on what he could get elsewhere to stay, you know, where he's comfortable and where there will be a certain level of success.
Do you think they know he's going? That's why Dane Laurie's coming back?
I'm not sure Laurie...
Because Dane Laurie is just an instant fucking equal fucking...
He's not going to play one. He's not going to play one, is he?
Well, no.
Why would he be coming back if he's not going to play?
Reggie's
because
depth.
Playing reserve grade for Penrith is better than having anything to do with the West Tigers.
Thank you for being the cunt that you always are, but I was actually trying to ask an actual question.
Well,
I'm serious.
Okay,
I'm serious.
I'll give you a serious answer, Glennie. The serious answer is he can go down to the fucking shops in his Penrith jersey without getting fucking bashed in the newspapers for doing it if he's actually at Penrith again.
The back line in Penrith had a shake-up, you know, and there will be spots up for grabs. So if Dano thinks he's good enough to come on in and get into that back line, fucking more power to him. More power to him.
Especially now with the gaping void that fucking Peachy leaving
exactly
is going to open up.
You know, and allegedly there's nothing Dano likes more than...
Congratulations, you said that with a straight face, Nathan.
Slipping into a nice warm peach hole.
Oof. Let's leave it there.
A nice warm peach hole. I feel like that's the title of the episode. A nice warm... Let me just write that down. A nice, warm peach hole. Round 22 coming up. Let's go with the Warriors this week. They get a bye. The first game is Thursday night. the Brisbane Broncos take on the Sydney Roosters at the convenient time of exactly the same time as the Matildas are playing at Lang Park, I think. So, awesome planning there, fucking for PVL. You've done it again. The Broncos, what do we got here? Jesse Arthur's out, Marty Tapau's out, and Xavier Wilson out. So Mariner, Flegler, and Piakura come in. Roosters, Wong is out. Radley comes into lock. Nathan Brown goes lock to bench. Who you got?
If the Broncos are serious, they should win this game easily. Roosters were better last week, but I think the Broncos are, you know, they're dead keen, I feel, and very committed to washing away the stink of last year's fade out, and this is the time where they really do need to be stepping up and beating. You know, they should beat the Roosters. They're a better side at this stage than the Roosters are, and should handle them easily.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
I would agree. I don't think there's a lot to say. I mean, the Roosters, it was, you know, from the Roosters, a Roosters fan's perspective, if they, I'm sure they would be happy with the way they went about their business last week. But, you know, not a renowned defensive powerhouse that they were up against there, and they exploited some pretty fucking ordinary defense in the middle and the edges. So, yeah, they did well to finish it off, and they'll have to finish all their chances off exactly like that again if they're to give themselves a chance, but I don't think they're built for it this year.
That's
I agree.
Exactly.
Friday pub slot game comes from Tamworth, where the West Tigers take on the South Sydney Rabbitohs. The Tigers, Talau's out, Wakeham's out, De Silva out, Seafarth out. So in comes Charlie Staines. Remember him? He's the play for Penrith. Brooksy, Will Smith, Bloor, and Junior Tupo goes from wing to centre. The Rabbits, they welcome back, well, at least at this stage, Latrell Mitchell. Taffy's out, Talis Duncan's out, so Latrell comes back in along with Jed Cartwright. Mm-hmm. Tigers could really do Manly a fucking solid if they could get some find a way to win this game.
It's in Tamworth. I expect us to get smashed like guitars.
Have you guys done the Tamworth? Is it your game that's usually... You guys are traditionally... How do you normally go there? I can't remember off the top of my head.
Oh, neither can I. But if
it, I mean, usually you've been shit, so like it just goes...
We've played there a couple of times over the last couple of years, and in those couple of years, we've invariably been shit. So I'm going to make an assumption that we've been shit in Tamworth.
So what you're saying is it's impossible to draw a line, though, to like Scully Park being like a bad home ground for you. It's just a bad club, generally.
Doesn't matter. They could play in fucking... local sand pit and still be fucking horrible.
Look, Brooksy's back though, so I mean this could very well be like a 66 point situation in your favour.
Loss. Oh, okay. No. We do also have a habit of players coming back from injury or suspension or being, you know, questioning the media, and then the next week they play the Tigers and play out of their skin. So I would expect a big game from Latrell Mitchell. $8.60 to $1.07.
Do you really think though that Latrell is going to turn all of these little cracks around in a week?
No,
he's going to have an impact. Make no mistake about that. But I mean, their defense has been so shit.
Mm. Yeah,
and it's not like all these tries were fucking. They got through the first line barely, and then because they didn't have Latrell Mitchell at fullback, they scored. They've been, you know, roundly pretty fucking shit in defence by their standards. So, look, you've actually talked yourself down so hard. This is one of the first games I can ever remember where you haven't come up with some bullshit grandiose scheme about how the West Tigers are going to be 13+, which means it must be bad. All right, I take your point. I'm picking up what you're putting down, Glennie. The West Tigers are going to get a 60 burger put on them at this point. You've heard it first from Glennie. The resignation tone in his voice says it all.
All the shit about this Souths one. All I want to talk about is the Adam Reynolds move.
Oh, so talking about what a bullshit. How they fucked up letting him go.
How they fumbled that, and how Latrell's return is saving Lachlan Ilias.
Yeah, let's be clear here. the they that we're talking about here are the media people that are starved of anything else to
correct.
Talk about.
So yeah, I was going to say, who is narratives. It? Yeah. I don't think anyone at South is saying that.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
No one at South is saying that.
Mm. as good as Reynolds is going, I still feel like South, with one eye on the long-term future, I think they're still probably comfortable with their decision.
If he'd had stayed at South, he actually would have played finals last year and would have got fucking snapped in half. So, no. They made the right move. Well done.
In this case, though, the Rabbitohs, you know, not a massive flogging. I say like high 30s to low teens is the kind of bracket I'm looking at for scores.
Do you reckon the West will
like
score?
Like a 38-12, 38-14 situation.
Okay, yep. Yeah, okay.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yep.
Because the Rabbits defense has been fucking shit. And so if the West Tigers could actually complete some of the sort of breaks that they made, like, I mean, admittedly it was because, you know, Rawalawa was standing like on the fuck, you know, in the middle of the field instead of on his wing. But if they could get some of those sorts of things and convert some of those, you know,
yep.
there's points to be had against the Rabbits. But yeah, just a matter of whether the Tigers can find them, I guess. And I don't think they're going to find enough, no matter what happens, to get the win. And this is the return bout. What was it that was the night that we were, night I was down watching Nas and Wu-Tang down in Sydney. I think it was like 20-0 or something, wasn't it, Glennie? That game? It's like it was a weird one. Like that was like 6-0 or 8-0 for like the whole game. And then South sort of just pulled away a little bit at the end.
Right at the back end. Yep.
The Storms take on the Eels down at Marvel Stadium again. And the Storms, without Remus Smith, Justin Ollam, Big Nelson, and Tarek Sims, replacing them comes in Marion Seva, Young Tonema Paya, Eliasa Katoa, and Tyron Wishart.
Which ones of those are out through injury and which ones are out through Bellamy?
Well, I don't actually know off the top of my head. I'm assuming that Nelson's probably suspended. But I don't know. The Eels. Sean Lane is out. Joey Lussick comes in. Andrew Davey moves from bench to second row to replace Sean Lane. Storms.
No way the Storm.
Shocked last week.
Yeah, no way they played that bad 2 weeks in a row.
The worry is, though, that last week, the catalyst for them losing the upper hand in that game was when Nelson rotated off.
Yeah.
Then they had the sin bin, which buried them to an extent which they couldn't overcome. So going the whole game without him, you know, I don't know. The Eels, it's a must-win game for the Eels. They all are for the Eels at this point because they're, you know, on the, you know, bottom end, of, you know, just out of the eight. Or they're actually in eighth at the moment, sorry. So yeah.
Yeah, I think
I'm going to back the Storm at home.
Yeah, I think Melbourne get them.
Yep.
The Raiders take on the Knights in Canberra. Unchanged lineup from last week. And the Newcastle Knights, they are without Daniel Saifidi. Brody Jones comes in. Jacob Saifidi moves to the front row from the bench to replace his brother. Knights, surprising performance last week.
Hmm.
The Raiders, honestly, I don't think it was, you know, they certainly weren't disgraced because I think the Warriors are a far better side than they are. So pull it back and to get it to Golden Point at the end there with a kick to, you know, an opportunity to win it.
Yep.
Yeah, decent form.
Yeah, Raiders.
Decent form line from both of them.
I don't know. The Raiders have had a few performances this year which sort of defies their position of fifth on the ladder, but they're serious about potentially being even potentially a top four side, results going their way. And if they play well to close out the season, they really should handle the Knights.
Although, again, the Knights have had some solid performances as well. Like they played a good 80 minutes of football to beat Melbourne last week. Well, don't get me wrong, Melbourne were far from their best, but, you know.
No, I agree with you.
This one's shaping up to be a good contest.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it's going to come down to who gets ascendancy early. And just because Ricky Stewart's an absolute fucking cunt, I'm tipping Newcastle.
Like Canberra in Canberra, it's that time of year.
Yeah.
And what you said is correct. I mean, like, if they, because of their for and against, they can't drop games, even though they've got a relatively lofty position on the table at the moment.
Yep.
Two losses and then two wins from a team under them, and they're gone.
They're gone.
That's so, and just by nature of that for and against differential. So, it's must win for them. Knights must, I mean, must win for them as well, I guess. I mean, if they want to stay, you know, say, give themselves a chance to make the finals. But by basis of Canberra in Canberra, that's what I'm doing. The Saturday afternoon game, the Dragons take on the mighty Manly Siebes Eagles. The Dragons are without Moses Umbai, and they bring in someone by the name of Connor Mühleisen. So he's got a good old German sounding name. So I'm sure he's a proud son of the region. The Manly side, Paseka's injured. Aloye injured, so Sipley and Bullimore come straight back through. Matt Lodge predictably moves to start the game after his big performance from the bench last week. Fucking Aloye, I mean, the guy's got some fucked ideas, but there's no denying the fucking toughness. In that game last week, he dislocated, his shoulder came out three times. Mm. And he just jammed it back in and kept playing. And in the last time, the reason when he went off is because they couldn't put it back in, so he had to go in and they had to go into the sheds and they had to, you know, actually sit down and try and, you know, jam it back in there. So and apparently there's another game. It's just been a recurring thing this season. And there was another game earlier in the season where it just come out and he just sort of, you know, just jammed back in, kept playing. So I mean, he's a cooked cunt, but he's a fucking tough cunt.
Has there been anything more come out about Matt Lodge and his contract?
He's train and trial, so we got to pay. Like someone was trying to make a case saying that, oh, that's like unders or whatever.
There is. Well, it's been reported that essentially the NRL have looked at that and said, well, no, he has a certain value as a player, and that value is $600,000.
Mm.
So what you're doing is taking the piss. So,
yeah, doesn't seem like anything's happened from it because, yeah, they're paying, as a train and trial, they're paying him basically $1,000
a grand a game. Week. That, yeah. Exactly. So what I'd read was that they can't, you know, make them pay him any more than that. But if they select him, if for every week they select him, the NRL can levy a salary cap implication on them.
Yeah, right.
So I haven't seen the other thing.
Yeah,
come about
yeah,
that.
It's weird because I mean, because he was paid out in full by the Roosters as well. So there's a way of looking at it that could be like that. You know, they're taking the freight for
it's
$600,000 too.
No, yeah, because they did pay.
But that's the argument that you could that Manly could make in return and say, listen, he was on $600,000 this year. He's been paid out the $600,000. You know, by the Roosters. So essentially, it's just like a, you know.
So he has. You're saying he's received the value.
Yeah, like a team, yeah. like Woodsy, for example. Like, we're not paying him a fucking dime. The Dragons are paying all of it, and so like, so I mean, I'm not a massive fan of Woodsy, I'm a big fan of Woodsy as a bloke. He seems like a good bloke, but as a player, zero. And Lodge as a bloke, zero fan of that. But
so
getting them both for a grand a week is pretty good value.
And that's a good conversation. You know, so Woods' salary is sitting on someone's salary cap.
Yeah, Dragons.
Matt Lodge's salary is sitting on no one's salary cap.
Yeah, but if the Roosters are paying him out, I mean, that must be something, right?
That has to count.
The match payments come off ours.
Salary cap. Yeah. If they've paid him out within the contract period, it still has to count on the Roosters' salary cap. Has to.
Yeah, and like the match payments we throw his way have to count us as well. But I mean,
yeah, they do. You know, but
by the end of the season, it's going to be like $10,000. So,
this is essentially the Aldi version of the Mark Gasnier rules.
Yeah, I guess
that you can't get a player for so far under.
Yeah, but tell me that Gasnier shit wasn't fucking planned from the year 2 years before.
100%.
That was the absolute fucking... That was almost as bad as fucking the Melbourne Storm shit, and it's never fucking spoken of.
No.
Ever. It wasn't even looked at.
Fucking dodgy ass.
Dragons are cunts.
Dragons are massive cunts. This game, milestone game, the 300th game for Daily Cherry Evans, and it's also 100 games for Lachlan Croker, who's managed to amass a reasonable career for himself after three fucking ACLs, the first of which was done when he was 14 years old and was getting it fixed on the public health system and had to wait a year before he actually got fucking operated on. He's a great bloke and a great club guy. I mean, he's not my first choice of hooker for the side, but he's definitely one of those glue fucking guys that you need in your side. He's just such a great bloke and such a great team player. I want a successful game for both of them. Interesting bit of trivia.
If his parents worked harder, he'd have private health and he'd probably be much more of an athlete.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, you know, maybe he could have hit up his fucking uncle or whatever, if, you know, for a bit of fucking scratch. But, Canberra were paying him over the cap in those days, too.
I could just imagine fucking Uncle Jared bursting into tears and telling him, I'm not an ATM.
You scored a try in my milestone round.
Now, interesting bit of trivia that I found out today. That Daly, when he brings up his 300 games, he's the only player in the NRL to hit 300 games and play them all in the same position.
Wow.
Think about that. It's fucking mind-boggling when you think about it.
Not really.
But you think, Cameron Smith played fucking 400 and whatever.
Yep.
But he would have started off the bench.
Yeah,
he started his first game. He was in the halves, and then blah blah blah. So for 300 games to go through, I mean, you even had guys like long careers like Jamie Lyon, and
is that he is the least versatile player to ever clock up 300?
No, he fucking jumped into first grade and never fucking jumped into first grade. Never left.
Least versatile.
Cemented his position. Got his opportunity straight from Reggie's. Cemented his position. Never relinquished. Never had to be pushed around to another position to accommodate someone else. It's crazy. You think of players that had long careers, like even a guy like Steve Mattai, for example. We go, obviously fucking centre. Yeah, but he played some games at 5'8" when injuries struck and they shifted things around. And like Beave was all every. I mean, he played games in second row and centre and fucking 5'8".
Two extremely versatile players. Play anywhere. Crucial in any squad.
What are you talking about?
To be able to cover multiple positions.
Well, you don't have to, though, do you?
If only there was a position on the rugby league field called...
Because that's the other thing about Daly as well. I mean, he's played fucking 99.8% of his career injury-free as well. Fucking durable, incredible player. Great milestone game. Never lost a milestone game either as well, which is interesting. He's won every single one, every 50 game. So 100 game. So another one coming up. Despite the fact that the Dragons... It's the bogey ground. It's Manly's number one bogey ground in the history of the league. They never fucking win this game. Injuries to two starting props, but despite all that, because like Lenny so rightly said, the Dragons are cunts. We're gonna see another incredible performance from DCE as the triple century of DCE and Manly.
Do you hit the top 26 eight plus if you win this week?
No, well, we'll be 1 point out. But if the Tigers can get the upset over the Rabbits, I think we will go in. Because I think the other results are probably going to go... I think if the Storm beat the Eels as we expect, they'll stay on 24.
Yep.
If the Tigers can get the Rabbitohs, then they stay on 24. And then if we get the win over... The Dragons, then we'll jump up onto 25. So that's how it is at the moment at this stage of the season. We're looking at the Sharks going backwards, Canberra with their shit differential, and Parramatta and South Sydney being inconsistent. And so those four teams have to win their games. We obviously have to win all our games. And then, there's a chance. There's a chance, though, because the draw of some of these teams, they're coming up against each other quite a lot as well. So we shall see.
Yep.
The Panthers take on the Sharks. In Penrith, Spencer Lemieux is out. Luke Garner is out. Matt Eisenhuth and Zach Hosking go in. The Sharks side, let's see what they did. Okay, so Colquhoun and Finucane, the cunts who injured Paseka, are out. Wade Graham and Talakai are in. Cameron McInnes goes from bench to lock. Panthers by 50.
Yeah,
they can't even beat teams outside the top eight now. Absolute fucking cooked team. and they're just going to take the blueprint developed by fucking patent pending by the Harvard scientists, and they are just going to run fucking Cleary and supported by fucking Yo, and he's going to throw passes out to fucking, to To'o, and these cunts on the right-hand side defense, or left-hand side defense of the Sharks, are not going to have a fucking clue what to do with any of it.
Yeah, that's about sums it up. Yeah.
And unless given that they've got Finucane out and these grub cunts out of the side, I think Finucane's gone for the season, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah, so
yes.
He's,
yes, yes, he is, yep.
So he is a, like, you know, for that club, he's one of the guys that took them from being shit again to being a top eight side again.
Yep.
And so, you know, without his influence in the side, I think it's nothing great for them at all. Without him in the side, the opposition players aren't going to be fucking injured by, you know, modified hip drops. So the Panthers are going to need to have 16 HIAs, category ones, for these cunts to have a chance to come back after what's going to be done to them by halftime.
God damn.
Down, Cronulla.
You said it better than I ever could.
Down, Cronulla.
I'll tell you,
They'll be staying on 26, and so we should jump them next week.
The easiest fucking job on this podcast is your team playing someone that Manly played the week before. It's fucking great.
Oh. Sit back and feel the G's.
I feel like I'm in the podcast union. I'm gonna do fuck all and get paid.
Oh, I'm looking after you, comrade. Now, the Doggies take on the Dolphins. This one's happening up in Bundaberg. Doggy side. Okay, fuck me. There's a list of changes. Perham's out. Alamotti's out. Skelton's out. Ockenbaugh's out. Harrison Edwards out. In comes Braden Burns, Josh Adokar, Sexy Boy, Kickow, and Jacob Preston. So, Avarillo is going to go from halfback to fullback.
Fuck.
Flano Jr. is going from hooker to bench. Raymer Fatala Mariner has gone front row to lock, so he actually retained his position after, and he actually won from his industrial action of not wanting to play prop and only doing one hit up for 1 meter in the first half. He's been switched to lock, so he actually got what he wanted in the end. Pangai Jr. goes second row to front row. Corey Waddell goes lock to bench, and Reed Marnie benched hooker. Dolphins, a few changes there too. Graham Stone and Katoa out. Tessie New, Jeremy Marshall-King, and Josh Kerr in. Cody Nikorima goes from fullback to 5'8". The Hammer goes from centre to fullback. Val Meninga goes from wing to centre. Milford goes from 5'8" to bench. And Kenny Bromwich bench to lock. That's a lot of words there for a game that's really, you know, the steam's gone out of the Dolphins now. The Doggies just fucking disastrous. For the sake of Glennie and, you know, trying to get some sort of, you know, race at the bottom happening, I'm going Dolphins by plenty.
Yeah, I think the Dolphins will get them regardless. Can Dolphins make the eight?
Yeah, technically, yeah. 22.
They can only one win out. Well,
That's the funny thing. I mean, like, it obviously it depends on the ladder predictor and everything like that and who they're playing in the run back and how many easy games they've got. Mm. But mathematically at this stage, yes. There's definitely enough teams playing each other above them to sort of split the cannibalized points off each other. If they were to win every game, they would get through.
I have them finishing ninth.
Yeah.
And not making it on for and against by a fair margin.
Yeah. And at the moment, that is a problem for me, their differential at negative 91.
Yeah.
Which is one of the worst in the comp. So
that's it.
And that's the saving grace for the Tigers at this point. If they can find a way to jag two wins, then there's no chance of getting the spoon because they've got such a massive lead and for and against on the Dogs.
Although it's probably time to redo the ladder predictor because...
Oh, you're serving up old ones. I thought you were doing it fresh.
Well, no,
making up something fresh for us every week.
That was what I had as of last time. So who did we have? Raiders Knights? Raiders? Dragons, Manly, Panthers, Sharks... Dolphins, Dogs. Yeah, see, this is that sort of shit in the season. Like, the Dolphins are currently sitting 13th.
Yeah.
They have a win, takes them to 10th.
Yeah. And this is the thing with last week as well. I mean, there's no way you would have had Manly over the Sharks either. in the predictor. There's no way.
Raiders versus Tigers, Eels versus Dragons, the Rabbits over the Sharks, Dolphins over the... See, and again, the Dolphins are 11th on the ladder, the Knights are 12th. Panthers, Warriors over the Titans. Roosters, Manly.
Beat them last time.
Yep. Yeah, Sharks, they'll probably beat the Titans because they're shit.
Or will they, though?
Fuck, Warriors have got a good run home, hey?
Yeah, yeah.
They've got a fucking good run home.
Yeah, I reckon they're pretty much home at this point.
Yeah, they are.
I think they only need probably two wins to sort of guarantee it, and I think they've got, you know, a few more in them.
Well, see, the Dolphins do play the Tigers. 19th of August.
So that's winnable for both teams, though. Really, you know, honestly.
And it depends Bulldogs, who the Bulldogs still have a bye, so effectively they're actually 6 points in front of us.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, in that case, you fuck, Lenny. Sorry. I tried to give you some hope there, mate, but...
Nah. All hope is lost.
Oh, well, mate. You had a good run.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, fuck, here, see? Round 26, Dolphins v. Cowboys.
Yeah,
Cowboys win. They're in fourth.
Yeah.
No, it's not that amazing. They're in fifth if they lose. What do I think that was more?
Which is quite remarkable, though, if you look at their pre-origin form and position. I mean, it's been a solid run of form from the Cowboys to ramp up to get to finish potentially in top four.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So the Sharks, the Titans, the Knights beat the Dragons. Yeah, there's so many fucking games where the last couple of games are against shit teams.
Yep. Yeah,
and the Dolphins have got the Warriors to edge it out. The Rabbits will beat the Roosters. Manly will beat the Tigers. Broncos v. Storm.
Doesn't really matter. Those guys are up there anyway, isn't it?
You know what? I've got the Dolphins on this make the eight.
Okay.
So based on this...
That's a long way around to answer my question.
It's Panthers, Warriors, Broncos, Storm. Rabbits, Cowboys, Raiders, Dolphins. And for and against doesn't have any bearing on the eighth. The Dolphins squeak in with 32 points. Manly are on 31 points.
Yeah, I think 30. I think around 31 is what the limit's going to be too. 32
So 31 for Manly, and then 30 for Parramatta, who don't make the eight because they're fucking terrible, and their window has slammed shut.
That would be fucking. That would be ideal. Just ideal.
Yeah, it's a fucking rough end of the season. Like the Knights aren't a bad football team at the moment, but finished 12th.
It's good. It's great. It just shows how compressed it is from phenomenal. 13th or 14th or 13th to first. Like it's fucking nuts, which is great. I mean, it's the closest. It has to be the closest season in.
Well, it's like the, you know, when was it? It was a season before last when Penrith were like fucking 12 points clear of everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, now they're like here. It looks like the Warriors finished second in this.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, home field advantage in the finals.
That'd be amazing. And just reward for the sacrifices that they made during the COVID chase.
What a fucking turnaround! That's phenomenal.
Yep, not tremendous. Turns out that we finally found the secret source assistant coach for the Panthers.
Fucking oath.
Wasn't Trent. Wasn't Garth. Wasn't Cam. Okay, who else fucking got out there? Was it just those three? All right. Anyway, that's it. That's the games this week. So,
Still got one more.
Oh, no,
to go,
it's not. Right? We got one more to go. Sorry. Oh, how could I forget these two teams? The Gold Coast Titans take on the Cowboys at Hope Solo Coliseum. The Titans, just some changes to the way that teams line up. Not so much changes to the personnel. The Cowboys, Nanai out. Neem is out. Jermaine Tanoa Brown comes in. Sam McIntyre as well. And I just don't think it matters. Even though, like, let's be real, large catalysts of Cowboys form in Jeremiah Nanai and Griffin Neem.
Yeah.
Out, but I just think that the way that Scott Drinkwater, it took him a little while to get back up there after that suspension that he had, but he's at the fucking peak of his powers now. He makes Chad good, dare I say.
Yeah. Just proof that being busy is half the fucking battle on a rugby league field.
Yep.
Like just that fucking energy he brings to that team. There hasn't been a player that brings that to the Cowboys since Thurston. And I'm not suggesting he's half the actual overall player that Thurston was. But just based on energy and enthusiasm alone, he's a fucking injection every time he's around the ball.
Yep. So in this case, though, North Queensland Cowboys, and like by fucking plenty as well, because
yeah, way too strong for the Titans.
Because not only have they been scoring a lot of points, their defense has been great.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, they let Parramatta score a couple late to make that game closer than it probably deserved to be. But yeah, I mean, a team like the Titans can score points, but fuck me, they can let them in. I think the Cowboys are gonna put a fucking huge score on. I'm gonna go out on a limb. They're gonna fucking, maybe not 50 burger, but they're gonna beat them down hard.
Not 74-0.
Yep. No, not 74-0. So you know, if you're a Titans fan and you're thinking of going to, you know, dress like a seat day,
maybe don't.
No, yeah, maybe let the seat do the work for you. Right, that's it. That was around, what was it, round 22. In the bag, get your tips in. Just listen to us. We got you covered. Says the guy who only puts his tips in every other week, and the other two who probably don't even fucking do it ever. So, you put tips in, Glennie?
No. No, I
did not. Look, yep. I've got to choose one thing to do between tips and ladder predictor. I think you know where my vote goes.
But I mean, like, the ladder predictor is really just an extension of the tips, though.
Yeah. I know. I'm not doing it. I'm not ticking it. As soon as someone can incorporate a ladder predictor into a tipping comp, I'm there. I'm fucking there.
That would be incredible. That's a great fucking feature. I'm going to look at that. Because imagine if you got ladder predictor built in to the tipping competition, and then at the end of the year, all of the competitors, you can look at how fucked some of their ladders are based on the results they tipped, and you can just, and you have these fucking people with like the West Tigers in the top four and all this random shit.
I tell you, look, the Sharks have thrown me out a bit, their recent slump.
Yeah.
But apart from that, I'm okay. I'm pretty happy.
Right. So, anything else you want to get onto before we wrap this one up, fellas?
I think we've said it all, Nathan. I think we've said it all.
All right. Well, in that case, thanks for listening. That was episode 527, thisweekinleague.com for all your socials and other things.
Lovely.
Don't forget to look out for Stepdad's comment in a thread in the Facebook group and the Twitter account at the end of the round's action, where you can get your comments in to sum up your thoughts on the hot button topics, your hot takes, or anything else regarding the round of action.
Some takes have been fucking red hot, I tell you. I fucking tell you. Keep them coming. They're great. I like the new format.
Yeah, it's good. And I've actually had people message me privately as well, saying it fucking flows really well, and, you know, it's fun that, you know, when you've got all that stuff at the end.
Yeah.
Like all the, so I guess it's kind of, you know, like the mailbag.
Yeah.
That's what we should do. We should just open up a mailbag for the Wednesdays as well. I mean, it doesn't necessarily always happen because sometimes Wednesday is the only day, but give people a chance to have, you know,
let's
twice
go
a week. But yeah, that's what we'll look at going.
More bags,
the anyway.
Better.
Yep, that's it.
In the toilets of Cronulla fucking stadium, allegedly, fucking old mate RLPA.
Yes.
Sniff, sniff.
Allegedly, very, very allegedly. That's it. See you. Oh, when are the teapot? Are we going to do a members one this week? Glennie, with the game. Ooh. Any game companions? What's the schedule? It's Thursday night, isn't it?
You said it was pub slot.
Oh, it's Friday. It's pub slot. Like I can do pub slot, but maybe.
Yeah, Jackson has basketball at 6. So
that's right. Well, maybe look at the Saturday games. Is there something you want to do? Are you free on Saturday at all?
For
the middle or the late?
Yeah, maybe late.
Yeah.
Unless, Glennie, when are you going to watch the Tigers game? Because if you've got basketball, we could not watch it.
Yeah, that's true. We could do that.
Yeah, that's potential.
We could just hold it off and do it later while the other game's going on, and, you know, just catch up on that one after.
That's it.
Yeah.
Right.
Some West Tigers edging.
It's going to be glorious. West Tigers get the upset over South Sydney. Days. Helping out the big dog. The big D's and the big dog, forming like Voltron. Fucking the ladder predictor. I love it. All right.
Fuck yeah.
Talk to you then.
Bye, boys.
See ya.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.